Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If any of you are familiar with the instrumental that is being played right now, it's a Super Bass by Nicki Minaj, and Denton has completely lost it 2 hours and 5 minutes into the show. Absolutely gone off the rails. Linnell Willingham here with you on The Fan until 4 o'clock here on this Saturday afternoon before I head over to FedEx Field. The Commanders going to have their open practice at the stadium from FedEx. All fans are welcome. There is a puppy adoption going on. 15,000 dogs rescued from a shelter in Virginia. You can go out and adopt those. Still don't know whether or not you can bring said puppy into the arena or stadium. We didn't ask Logan Paulson about that. I forgot. He sort of sidestepped my question about it, that he was in PetSmart. Clearly wasn't in PetSmart. But
it felt like he was like, man, I don't need a puppy. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, definitely what it sounded like. I know Logan's got kiddos, so maybe the kiddos might want the puppy. It's not all about you, big fella, but it is all about him when he hops on here and talks football. He did a great job doing that at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. If you're listening on the Odyssey app and are just tuning in, you can go back and use the Odyssey Rewind feature to go hear the latest from Logan Paulson. Before we went to the break, though, I promised that we would take a spin around the National Football League and look at some of the QB battles going on. And there really isn't too many that are hot and heavy right now, but there's one particular one that has caught my eye. And I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so. Kenny Pickett, third string quarterback through 2 weeks at Steelers camp. And it's Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph, the incumbent guy, basically, that has really took the bull by the horns, according to members of the Pittsburgh Steelers beat. And he has been the one that has been marching this offense up and down the field. There was a report that came from my man Mark Caboli of The Athletic. He does a nice job covering the Steelers for them. He says, one practice, Mitchell Trubisky, the free agent acquisition at the quarterback position for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he said that Mitch Trubisky went 0 for 16 as he was charting his completions and incompletions during the team periods for that day. Mitch Trubisky, 0 for 16? Come on, man. There's no way. There's no way this is really happening.
That's impressive, to be honest. I hope he got a bonus for that.
He should. That'll probably be the only damn bonus Mr. Trubisky receives this year. Because if you remember, the contract he signed was very incentive-laden, centered around whether or not he plays a certain amount of snaps or not. And I got distracted here because I just got a terrible notification on my phone. Terrible for Giants fans, at least. Adam Schefter just tweeted out, the Giants just placed rookie fifth-round pick offensive lineman Marcus McKeithen on injured reserve due to a torn ACL. So the Giants already feeling the attrition of the NFL season, and they're getting hit hard here in training camp. Everybody knows offensive line was definitely a question mark area for the New York football Giants. And now, according to Adam Schefter, their fifth-round rookie Marcus McKeithen going on injured reserve and will miss the entirety of the 2022 season with a torn ACL. Back to the quarterback stuff, though. Mitch Trubisky, 0 for 16 in practice, one practice period. And, man, they brought him in as a reclamation project, and by all accounts, he was supposed to be the guy to win the job. They then went out and confused everybody by drafting Kenny Pickett in the first round. And once they did that, I thought, well, hey, this is probably going to be Kenny Pickett's job eventually. But according to the folks out there in Pittsburgh, he's even struggling. Getting third-team reps, don't know how well he's doing with the third team. I know in reading some of Caboli's stuff, he said Trubisky has looked much better when he's played with the second and first team, which is interesting to me because they have a genuine three-man quarterback competition going on between Mitchell Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett, the first-round pick. And you would assume Pickett, as the highest draft pick of those guys, would have the leg up. But no, he's getting third-team reps. It has been Mason Rudolph leading the charge. Mike Tomlin spoke to the Pittsburgh reporters, and he said, the winner of this quarterback competition is going to be the guy who can make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. Basically, he was trying to say whoever can survive in the chaos that is the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, because they're dealing with so many injuries up front and at the wide receiver spot, he said whoever can survive that best, that's who I want to be this team's starting quarterback.
Hold up. Mike Tomlin said that in front of reporters?
Yes.
I would be so offended if I was somebody on that offense. Like, wait, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, can you describe exactly what you mean by chicken you know what, coach? I want to make sure we're on this. Like, am I that?
Well, I put that in. He was saying he wants to see who can handle the adversity the best. Because if you've been following guys on the Steelers beat, there's some attrition there. Najee Harris has been not a consistent participant in practice. He's dealing with a lower body injury. Chase Claypool hasn't been a regular participant in practice. Deontay Johnson was holding out.
Chase Claypool dancing on the sidelines.
Yeah. I mean, they lost Juju Smith-Schuster, but they got the next best damn thing in Chase Claypool. He's a clown show just like Juju is. But I think Juju's clown show is going to end up in some W's for the Kansas City Chiefs. But hey, but nonetheless, Mike Tomlin basically saying because of the injuries that they're dealing with for the weaponry of the quarterback, he's kind of having some leniency. He wants to see which guy can make the best out of the tough situation that they're dealing with personnel-wise. And there's a video, I don't know if you saw this, Denton, on Twitter that surfaced of Mason Rudolph leading a drive in practice, and it was in the two-minute situation. And once they scored the touchdown, the entire team stormed the field, huddling around Mason Rudolph, chanting and cheering. I know that doesn't spell well for Mitchell Trubisky. I don't even care about Kenny Pickett at this point. He's the rookie. If you're money-making Mitch, you should have took your tail to New York.
Now, would you ever have thought, let's just say, if I had to pick like a time frame, maybe about 2 years ago at like week 8, after this dude got hit in the head with a helmet of somebody else, that he would ever be getting stormed on the practice field as the next guy in the Pittsburgh locker room?
He couldn't even keep Duck Hodges off of the field, Denton. I mean, to see Mason Rudolph in his resurgence here has been interesting to me. I know he's got a lot of fans in that front office and in that locker room. Mike Tomlin always speaks highly of him whenever he gets a chance, but that's just Mike Tomlin, arguably the best head coach in football. He's a nice guy. But from a physical standpoint and a talent standpoint, unfortunately for the Commanders, the Steelers aren't on their schedule, because I would love to play a Pittsburgh Steelers team led by Mason frickin' Rudolph. Are you kidding me? They may have the worst quarterback room in football right now. Oh, but then we just take a trip, go a little north, northwest, whatever you want to call it. I'm not geographically sound. We go to Seattle, and they've got Drew Lock competing with Geno Smith. You can wipe the crust out of your eyes. You didn't get in a car crash. We are not in 2010. Geno Smith is the leader in the clubhouse right now, according to Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll. He's competing with the ghost of Drew Lock, because the guy that we saw at Mizzou has not made it to the NFL. That was one of the swaggiest, lit personality guys. Can cultivate a locker room. I haven't seen it yet from Drew Lock. Obviously, that guy didn't make it to the NFL.
You know, after Pete Carroll made those comments about Geno Smith being the leader between him and Drew Lock, if you listened very, very closely, you could hear the sound of a single tear rolling off of the cheek of drab T-shirt and hitting the ground. That is the quarterback battle that his beloved Seattle Seahawks are going into 2022 with.
It's crazy, because Drabby's actually high on Geno, surprisingly. Drab loves him some Geno Smith. He was definitely psyched about the Drew Lock acquisition. But I remember, what was the game? Was it against Pittsburgh when Geno started?
Yeah, it was against
Pittsburgh. I believe it was a Monday night or a Sunday night game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Geno looked like a competent NFL quarterback in that game. In that game, he did. He looked like he could handle it. And if you remember, The Pittsburgh Steelers defense a year ago was the best in football. So for Geno to be able to handle himself well in that situation probably gave him the leg up heading into this offseason, because everybody knows the tumultuous ending of Drew Lock's career in Denver. I don't know. It's a terrible batch to pick from, I'll say that. But for Geno Smith, I wonder, because there are a lot of guys in that locker room in Seattle, and Bobby Wagner even spoke about this on I Am Athlete, I believe. Guys like Geno in Seattle. Like, Geno is a guy that he got a raw deal in New York. I mean, when the dude socked him in his jaw and broke his jaw, I knew, like, okay, like this is not your typical situation for a young quarterback. And everybody knows young quarterbacks go to the New York Jets to die. I mean, when is the last time we've seen them have a young quarterback that has success? Even right now, that's another situation. They're saying Joe Flacco's blowing the roof off.
Well, I was going to say, how do you define success? Because the past 2 weeks for Zach Wilson have been, you know, successful in one instance, maybe not so successful in the field, but, you know, how do you measure success?
We measure success by wins, losses, and the amount of mothers you can get.
And then he got at least one of them. You know, he got the yells, but he also got the moms.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
That was another, not to segue too quickly or transition too quickly, the quarterback competition, it's not even a competition, actually. But Robert Saleh, when's the last time you seen a head coach stand on the table for his backup quarterback saying he thinks he can start anywhere across the National Football League? And according to all the reports, my guy Bieniemy, DJ Bieniemy, tweeted multiple times that Joe Flacco has outperformed Zach Wilson at Jets camp. I repeat, Joe Flacco has outperformed Zach Wilson at Jets camp. That's a real thing that's happening right now. Like I mentioned, wipe the crust out of your eyes, smack yourself on the cheek a few times. We're not in 2012, but Joe Flacco is out there balling. It's out there balling. And we'll see right away whether or not Zach Wilson's got the goods or not, because they did everything in their power. Joe Douglas and company did everything in their power to surround Zach Wilson with the adequate weapons for him to have success here in his second year in the National Football League. But I don't want to hear in the second week of training camp that Joe Cool is out there outperforming Zach Wilson. That doesn't spell good news. That doesn't spell good news. The situation in Atlanta between Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota. Now this, there's been some water thrown on the fire a little bit. During OTAs and minicamp, there was a real sense that maybe Desmond Ridder has a legit shot to unseat Marcus Mariota. But since training camp has opened up, we haven't heard any of that. Like I mentioned, a lot of water thrown on that fire. But for the Atlanta Falcons, like, they've got weapons. Drake London, I saw him on video turning around all-pro Casey Hayward, doing him the dirty way. Kyle Pitts, a man possessed that can't be guarded. There are some interesting quarterback competitions brewing around the National Football League. Got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, which rookie quarterback do I think is going to get to sniff the field first? I'll tell you that on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. You listen to 106.7 The Fan. We're also streaming live nationally on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, Willingham here with you on The Fan for about another half hour. It's been a fun show. I want to give a big thanks to Logan Paulson joining us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, go back and use the rewind feature to go listen to my conversation with former Commanders tight end Logan Paulson. We talked all things Commanders, including the linebacker position, who he's been most impressed with thus far at camp. And we also talked about Carson Wentz and how Logan feels he's done through the first 2 weeks of camp. Before we took the break, though, we were talking quarterback competitions around the National Football League. I mentioned the one in Pittsburgh. We mentioned the one as well in Atlanta that isn't really much of a competition because Marcus Mariota is pretty much taking that job. But for me, what's got me most intrigued and what always gets me most intrigued this time of year is the rookies. This year's draft was different. There was not a situation where there was a consensus top quarterback. Some people thought Kenny Pickett. Some people thought Malik Willis. Some people had Matt Corral. Varying evaluations across the National Football League about this crop of rookie quarterbacks. And Kenny Pickett ends up being the one selected the highest, but he's not necessarily in the best position to get on the field as quick as the other guys. And the question I want to pose out there to you guys, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 1-800-636-1067, which rookie quarterback do you think is in the best position to play first? Here's your crop of guys you could choose from. Matt Corral in Carolina, who really should be a super long shot on this list. You got Desmond Ridder down in Atlanta with the Falcons. We heard good things coming out of Atlanta during OTAs and minicamp, but kind of been quiet on the Desmond Ridder front through 2 weeks of camp. You got Malik Willis down in Tennessee, who is my guy, who I think is the best quarterback in the class from a talent standpoint. You got Kenny Pickett down there in Pittsburgh. And between those guys, I mean, obviously there's other places too. I know Bailey Zappe. Is it Bailey Zappe in New England with the Patriots, Denton? Is that am I right on that? I believe Bailey Zappe is in New England. He's probably not going to get an opportunity to play because obviously Mac Jones was a guy that they drafted a season ago. But of the three guys that I listed, Ridder, Pickett, Willis, Corral, that's four guys. Which one do I think is in the best position to see the field first? I'm going to go down to Tennessee. I'm going to go down to Tennessee and my guy, Malik Willis. And here's why. Last year, Ryan Tannehill in the postseason, and the one playoff game that they played in, played some of the worst football I've ever seen Ryan Tannehill play. During the season, Ryan Tannehill wasn't that great. 14 interceptions to just 21 touchdowns, and it was the most interceptions Tannehill had thrown since his sophomore season in the NFL back in Miami. So there wasn't consistency with Ryan Tannehill. And then last year when he got to the postseason, he just completely threw up on himself. Everybody remembers that game against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Tennessee Titans at the time, the number one seed in football, the one seed in the AFC, loses 16-19 in the postseason against the Cincinnati Bengals. And here's the alarming stuff. Ready for the numbers of Ryan Tannehill? 15 of 24. A measly, lousy 224 yards, a touchdown, and three interceptions. That's the backbreaker. That's the backbreaker. You don't win a football game in the playoffs if your quarterback turns the ball over three times. Unless you're lucky. I'll tell you what. Quarterbacks out there, if you throw three interceptions in the playoffs and your team wins, go play the lottery. Because clearly luck is on your side. Clearly luck is on your side. But I say all that to say, the last time we saw Ryan Tannehill on the football field, it wasn't great. Wasn't nothing to sneeze at. His overall performance through the season wasn't really great. Wasn't nothing to sneeze at. He had his moments. But it wasn't good most of the time for Ryan Tannehill. That embarrassing loss against the Houston Texans, 22-13, 35 of 52, 4 interceptions. Come on. I'll have to look this up real quick. If I'm not mistaken, Ryan Tannehill may have led the National Football League in multi-interception games. He may have. I'm getting ready to double check that for you guys. But that's the point. Like, the last time we saw him, he wasn't good. This was supposed to be a reclamation project for him in Tennessee. This was the first time we saw him without the man that I single-handedly credited for his success, talking about new Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. We saw the best version of Ryan Tannehill when Arthur Smith was the architect of this offense. But he's no longer there. And in his first season without Arthur Smith, he struggled. He really did. Now, I'm pulling up the list here. Multi-interception games across the National Football League last year. Ryan Tannehill's got to be right up there with him. I'm struggling to find the exact number. But he's got to be right up there. I mean, I rattled off a couple of performances to you there. The 4-interception game against Houston. The 2-interception game against the Colts. Both times against the Colts, he throws 2 picks. Another 4-interception game. I mean, he's not that damn good.
Well, I mean, you look at interception leaders, and I also haven't been able to find the exact list because somehow in the midst of list season in the off season, nobody has put that information out, but I did one Google search and called it a day. Matt Stafford led the league with 17, and it felt like there was a point in time towards the end of last season where he was throwing 2, 3, 4 interceptions on a weekly basis.
He almost threw them out of the playoffs then. I mean, like, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty, and it says a lot because they didn't even win the division. Although that talent on their football team, they couldn't even win the division. They had to go on the road and take on Arizona in the wild card round of the playoffs. Everybody knows they make quick work of Kyler Murray and company. Kyler Murray's playoff career, short-lived. I'm hilarious because the guy is very short. But look, I think Malik Willis has the best shot to unseat and become the first rookie quarterback to play because the guy in front of him isn't really much of a threat in the first place. And me and Denton talk about this stuff all the time off the air. The combination of Malik Willis and Derrick Henry in your backfield, good night, Irene, is what the great Jim Ross would say. Good night, Irene, because how the hell do you stop that? How do you stop it? Ryan Tannehill, let me not speak out of turn. I was going to say Ryan Tannehill wasn't much of a running threat. He really wasn't. Like, he's not as spry as he once was, right? But he's got a little bit of wheels on him, former college wideout. But Malik Willis, this is a different animal. Those two in the backfield, it gives me, it's almost like shades of RG3 and Alfred Morris back here at our nation's capital in 2012. It's uber similar to that. And I think the transition for Willis wouldn't be too difficult because the running element of his game, because he can create instant offense with his legs. And then he's going to be facing a lot of damn 8-man boxes because Derrick Henry is the scariest running back in the NFL. So I think it'd be easy for them to transition from Ryan Tannehill to Malik Willis. And look, I don't think we're too far from that. I really don't. I don't think it's going to take long before Malik Willis unseats Ryan Tannehill for a multitude of reasons. Some of them I just listed. But ultimately, the biggest reason is Ryan Tannehill isn't very good. He isn't. His head coach, Mike Vrabel, former New England Patriot, he knows good quarterback play when he sees it. He had to play for Tom Brady. He had to play with Tom Brady. Speaking of the New England Patriots, though, we're going to take a quick timeout. There was a lineman who did something you would not believe to escape the wrath of Bill Belichick. I'll tell you on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. This is The Fan. You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, here with you on The Fan for two final segments here on this Saturday afternoon in our nation's capital. The Commanders will wrap up their second week of training camp tonight at FedEx Field. Practice will be open to the public. You can come out there and cheer on your Manders as they get ready to put on a show, hopefully, in front of the full contingent of fans, full pads once again. So come out to FedEx and cheer on your Manders. We'll switch things to the AFC East here for a hot second. There was a lineman who recently told a story on a podcast about what lengths he went to avoid the wrath of Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Take a listen.
As early as you possibly can, every single day for work, because you don't want to be the guy that's wandering into a squad team meeting and have Bill Belichick and the rest of the team look at you. So I wake up, my phone died overnight, and I realize I'm waking up to the sound of chirping birds and not my alarm going off. And I am frantic. I don't even bother looking at the clock. I know I'm late. I just know I'm late. So I grab everything I need to. I mean, I'm completely unkempt. I throw myself in the car in the garage, back out as fast as I can, and I get to the road. And I don't want to speed. I don't want to get a ticket because that's only going to exacerbate things. So I'm stopping at every stop sign, but I'm hustling. I'm trying to get there. I finally look at the clock on I was driving a Chevy Tahoe, and it says I'm late already. Or I'm going to be. Like, I'm like 5 minutes to being officially late. And I've got a 15-minute drive ahead of me. I'm going to be 10 minutes late for this day. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, what do I do? And I have this sinking feeling in my stomach, like, I'm going to get cut. Like, he's not going to have me on this football team come tomorrow. What do I do? And I'm cruising down this, like, slight sloping hill that brings you to the first traffic light that I have to turn right to get to the stadium for the morning meeting. And I see a church van in front of me that's all dinged up, and it's got, you know, the black smoke coming out of the exhaust pipe. And I'm just like, I'm going to hit this car. I'm going to rear end this car. I'm going to hit this car because it's better to whatever, pay the insurance or like peel off this guy a couple $100 than embarrass myself being late for this Patriots team meeting. So I rear end this church van. I hit this poor old man who, by the way, was like minutes from being 100 years old. This guy with a long white beard, I mean, it was father time, comes creeping out of the front seat of this church van. And I didn't hit him hard. I like cruised into him enough that it dented my bumper. So I had proof. So I had visual evidence that I actually got into a car accident. And he walks outside of the van, and I had already like reversed a little bit. We pulled off to the side, like, you know, so we're away from traffic. And he comes and he looks at the van and he looks at the damage on my car. He's apologizing to me. I'm like, oh, sir, no, this was totally my fault. I said, I'm running a little late for work. I said, my brain's just elsewhere. I was in the clouds. I said, this was not your fault. This was my fault. I am so sorry, sincerely sorry. I was like, anything I could do. You want insurance information?
Person, he's lying. But it just shows you the power and autonomy that Bill Belichick has in New England. And the fear that he instilled in the guys, because to get into a damn car accident, he was only going to end up being 5-10 minutes late to the practice or the meeting anyway. So you should have just bit the bullet. But to get in a car accident, come on.
And you know what the best part of that story is? The very, very end. We couldn't play it for you, but the very, very end, they didn't even accept it.
Yeah.
Like, look, man, this is an IBM. You can't get away with that here. You better be on time.
And he clearly must feel like an idiot after that, because now your car is ruined. You got a fender bender for no reason. Who knows what type of voodoo the church van guy put on him. Sad situation.
This is what I finally understood. This is what coaches mean when they say they want to have better guys in the community. Because if you get in a car crash, don't. Yeah. Here's your advice. Don't get in a car crash. Get here on time.
Yeah, no excuses. I wonder if that would work here. That would be a terrible thing to do, though.
On a Monday through Friday, yes. On a Saturday or Sunday, not as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's CK. If I ever tell you I'm in a car accident, I probably wasn't. Then there, it raises the question to me, though. Like, I don't know if you're comfortable sharing this. I guess I'll give one of my moments. What's the worst thing you've, the most immoral thing you've done to get out of something?
You know, I was thinking about that. I definitely have one that I can't say on there that I could potentially do. That's just kind of like in the back pocket kind of thing, but I don't want to, you know, give all my tricks away. I don't know if I've ever gone anything, you know, this extreme, because rear-ending somebody is an extreme.
Yeah, like, come on.
I mean, that ruined that guy's day. He's remorseful. No, you're making fun of the guy's voice. Like, this man could still be listening. You don't know how old he is. I don't know. Nothing juicy for radio, unfortunately. I'm kind of a loser in that regard.
I remember it was 11th grade. I believe it was 11th grade. And we used to have these things we had to do called document-based questions. And it was like a in-classroom written essay timed. And it didn't really mean anything. There was no grade attached to it. Like, as long as you gave good faith effort, pretty much, you passed. I didn't know that until after the fact. And I was so nervous leading up to this thing. I remember pretending to have a fever. So what I did was, I took the thermometer and I put it, the tip of it, the silver tip. I don't know if you all are familiar with the old school thermometers that have the silver tip and you put it under your tongue. I put the tip of the thermometer on the light bulb to my lamp in my room to get it just nuky enough to where I had a 104 degree fever. And so I made it a little too hot, but it worked. It got me out of having to go to school that day. Unfortunately, I spent a very extended period of time at Kaiser Permanente's urgent care, which is terrible. No offense to the folks at Kaiser, but your service is just awful. And it comes to find out that my fever magically subsided once I waited in the lobby for 4 or 5 hours. Never had a fever in the first place, but that's probably the worst I've done.
4 or 5 hours is an extreme time
to wait in an urgent care? Like, come on.
For a 104 degree fever? I mean, I think they would kind of speed you up in the line there a little bit.
Not the Kaiser in Gaithersburg. Now I'm being specific. It's the Gaithersburg Kaiser. They aren't worth a damn. I'm not worth a damn either, because why was I trying to get out of the DBQ? It never even affected my grade. It was a pass-fail type of thing. And obviously, what do they say? The young folks say, I copped the plea.
Passed in the street smarts, kind of.
I always got a little street smarts there. Just like you said, I can't give away too many tricks of my trade. We got to take a quick time out here. On the other side of this break, I'll tell you which NFL teams have never had an MVP in their franchise. You'll be surprised to hear the list. Don't go anywhere. This is The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Linnell Willingham here with you on The Fan for one final segment here on this Saturday afternoon in our nation's capital. Beautiful, beautiful day outside. Beautiful time to go out to FedEx Field and come watch the Washington Commanders practice in the stadium for the first time this offseason. They'll be there next weekend as well. The Carolina Panthers coming to town for the preseason opener. for your Washington Commanders. That should be a treat as well. But get a little tease tonight at FedEx Field. Gates open at 4 o'clock. You can adopt a puppy, as we've been telling you all show. 15,000 rescued puppies available for purchase and adoption. You can get to the stadium early. You can do that.
Is it 15,000 or 1,500?
It may be 1,500. That actually...
15,000 is a lot of puppies. That's like an average Sunday attendance at FedEx Field.
Boom! Anybody listening that is affiliated with the team, that was my producer, not me. Before we went to the break, though, I was teasing the fact that there are six NFL franchises that have never had an MVP. I spoiled it to our producer, Denton Day, earlier in the break before the show started. Six teams that have never had an MVP. The Jacksonville Jaguars, shocker. The Tampa Bay Bucks, a real shocker to me. The New Orleans Saints, the Arizona Cardinals, the New York Jets, and the Houston Texans. You all probably know where I'm going with this. The question is simple. Of those six teams, the Jags, Bucks, Saints, Cardinals, Jets, and Texans, who's going to get the next MVP? Who will get their first MVP in franchise history? Obviously, the easy answer probably is the Tampa Bay Bucks and Tom Brady. But if he doesn't win it this year, after he leaves Tampa Bay, they are going to go into purgatory. They're probably going to be god-awful. So I don't think they're the odds-on favorite for this question, right? I got to go and look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Trevor Lawrence is the closest out of anybody on these rosters to winning MVP, and here's why. Last year, he gets a pass from me. He gets a pass from me because he had to deal with stupid Urban Meyer. And how could you ask someone to succeed under those circumstances that the Jacksonville Jaguars were under a season ago? He gets his college teammate in lethal weapon back. And Travis Etienne, who also had a redshirt rookie year, but he was actually injured. Had the Liz Frank injury to start camp. Missed the entirety of the season. He gets him back. They put in a lot of money and invested a lot of resources at the wide receiver position this offseason, signing Christian Kirk to a massive deal. They bring in Evan Engram. But the biggest thing for me is the combination of head coach and quarterback. I love me some Dougie Fresh. When I say Dougie Fresh, I'm talking about Doug Peterson. I love Doug Peterson. I love the way he's able to captivate a locker room. I love the track record and history of success with quarterbacks, specifically with what he did with Nick Foles during Carson Wentz's would-be MVP season. His ability to lead guys, the creativity, drawing up the Philly special. The guy's got the goods. I think Trevor Lawrence and him, as far as head coach quarterback combinations, after this season, will be one of the top 10 to 12 in the National Football League. Mark my words, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be here to stay. They're going to be here to stay. I expect 2022 to be the first year and first season of long-term success for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it all starts because they got their man at quarterback, the guy who I think is the closest to ending his franchise's MVP drought. I'll list through the teams again. The Jacksonville Jaguars, Tampa Bay Bucks, New Orleans Saints, Arizona Cardinals, New York Jets, and Houston Texans have never, ever had an MVP. I think Trevor Lawrence is the one to do it. I really do. And I'll even go out on a limb. Clip this off, Clip Master Denton. The Jacksonville Jaguars will make the playoffs in the crowded AFC. That's all I got for you. Lynnell Willingham signing off here on The Fan. I'm back with you Wednesday night, 6:30 to 10 right here on The Fan. It's been a pleasure.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.